Romans chapter 12. I beg you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Well, a sacrifice is what was put onto the altar, and the person put their hands on it to show that this is me. And he says, well, you should give yourselves a living sacrifice. They used to cut the animal up into different parts, and so every part of our lives should be given to God. And that is holy, acceptable to God, which is your logical service. So this is the whole idea, that the logical response to God's grace is to give every part of our lives to him. That's the logical response to what he has done for us. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may test and prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace that's given unto me, to every man among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has given to each man a measure of faith. So we should not be arrogant. We should realize that before God we have nothing to boast of. For as we have many members in our one body, and all the members don't have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ. And we are members of each other, and having gifts differing according to the gift that has been given to us. Whether prophecy, let's prophesy according to the proportion of our faith, or service, let us serve according to what we've been given, or he who teaches should focus on his teaching, or he who encourages on his encouraging, he who gives, let him do it with simplicity. And I love that, give with simplicity. Not all complex and expecting that we're going to get something back from what we give, but give simply, because we simply want to respond to what God has done. He who rules must do so carefully. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Now, we read this word love and hear it all the time, but so few people really understand what it means. Because Jesus defines it for us, he says that we should love as he loved us. And he loved us by dying on the cross. And that's why love, to love each other, is a new commandment. Because although people were always told to love each other, even from the Old Testament, we have a new commandment to love as he loved us. Hate what is evil and cling to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned to each other, preferring one another. Let other people go first. Be diligent in your ways of life. Don't be lazy. Serve the Lord, rejoicing in hope. Now, the hope we have is the hope of resurrection to eternal life when Jesus comes back. And we are to rejoice in that. And hope isn't just hoping for the best, but hope, certainly in the New Testament, it means to have an absolutely solid faith, an expectation, to know that solidly this is what is in front of us. And that's how you can rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Carry on praying instantly. Distribute to the necessities of the saints. That's the special ones, the believers. Be hospitable. Bless those who persecute you without cursing them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Don't think about high things, but condescend to those who are lowly. Don't be wise in your own conceits. Being conceited means that you're absolutely sure that I'm right and everybody else is somehow beneath me. That's an awful attitude to have. Don't repay anybody evil for evil. Do things honestly in the eyes of all men, and if it's possible, as much as depends upon you, live in peace with all men. Now, I'm glad he says, as much as depends on you, because sometimes you can't help but have conflict with people. So as much as lies in us, as much as is our responsibility, We should always be open to dialogue, to reconciliation, and to aim to live in peace with everybody. Don't avenge yourselves, but allow God's wrath to happen, for it is written, "Vengeance belongs to me, and I will repay," says the Lord, so that it's not for us to repay what people do wrong. It is for us to wait for God to do this. And David, when he was persecuted by Saul, would be the great example of that. He had the chance to kill Saul when he crept up on him twice, once in the cave, once when Saul was sleeping out in the countryside chasing David, and he didn't, because he said, no, one day God will sort this out. And so, the opposite. If your enemy is hungry, then feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink, for in so doing, you'll heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good, which is really what God does. As Joseph said at the end to his brothers, you meant this for evil, but God used it for good.